From Genetic Engineering and Biotechnology News, this is the GenCast Network. Bringing you compelling and in-depth interviews with the biotech industry's leading researchers, newsmakers, and thought leaders. This week on the GenCast Network. Dr. Jill Foose from the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory is interviewed by Gen's editor-in-chief John Sterling about her team's solving the structure of an essential DNA repair protein that may shed new light on the process of aging and cancer.
Dr. Jill Foose is a project scientist in biochemistry in the laboratories of Drs. Priscilla Cooper and John Tainer at the Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory. Much of her research focuses on molecular and cell biology. Dr. Foose, you and your colleagues recently reported that you solved the structure of a protein called XPD. What is XPD, and why is it such an important molecule?
XPD is a DNA helicase that unwinds DNA during DNA repair, and it's important because in humans, it is part of a large protein complex called TF2H that is involved in both DNA repair and transcription. The TF in TF2H is for transcription factor. And XPD is a DNA repair protein, and its DNA repair role was discovered first over 30 years ago. And it gets its name from a disease called xeroderma pigmentosum, or XP for short. And XP patients have a very high incidence of skin cancer. XP kids have to stay out of the sun completely, and even UV from fluorescent lights is too much for them. They are sometimes referred to as children of the moon because they have to play outside at night. And XPD is involved in the pathway that repairs ultraviolet light damage in DNA. And so when XPD is mutated, the damage can't be repaired, which leads to mutations and eventually cancer. But that's not the whole story. Mutations in XPD can also cause two other diseases that don't have a high incidence of skin cancer. One is called trichothiodystrophy, or TTD for short, and also another one that's XP, but also combined with a syndrome called Cockayne syndrome, or CS for short. And TTD and CS are thought to be premature aging diseases, and these patients fail to develop and have many symptoms of premature aging. Since mutations in XPD lead to three different human diseases, it's a very important molecule to understand.
What's the significance of your group's solving the essential structure of XPD?
So now we can see how individual mutations impact the structure of XPD. Before, we could only map the mutations on the linear sequence of the protein, which didn't give us many clues to how the structure was affected. And the mutations actually mapped all over the protein. There was no clear way in which the mutations affected the protein. So now we can see where those mutations are in 3D, which shows us that the mutations from the different diseases are actually localized differently in the protein. So what we found is that the XP mutations map where we think DNA and ATP bind, which is important for the catalytic activity of the protein, and the XPCS mutants affect the protein conformation, actually make it more rigid, which seems to affect how the protein binds DNA. And the TTD mutations affect the flexibility of XPD, which could affect how it interacts with other proteins. So, and the biochemistry experiments that we did as part of this work and also the work of others are consistent with these predictions.
How does XPD carry out its role as a DNA repair protein?
When DNA is damaged, in the case of ultraviolet light, two thymine bases are linked. And that damage needs to be removed. If it's not removed, it can lead to mutations and then eventually cancer. So XP actually unwinds the double helix, meaning that it separates the two strands of DNA, so that nucleases that cut the DNA can actually come in and cut that damaged piece out. And then eventually a protein that synthesizes DNA comes in and fills in that gap. So it's very critical in starting the repair process itself. Now, that sounds pretty simple, and that's what I learned in school, but it gets quite complicated when you think about all the protein interactions and protein handoffs that have to occur to let that happen correctly.
Would you describe how your research team went about finding the XPD gene? And then could you talk about the procedure you followed to crystallize it?
The human XPD gene was actually cloned many years ago, and it was known to be a DNA helicase from the sequence of the protein. But turns out that working with the human protein is pretty difficult. This is something that I've worked on and many people before me have worked on. But it's very insoluble when it's expressed as a recombinant protein, so expressing it in bacteria, for instance. But we were determined to find a suitable system to study XPD because of its interesting biology and connection to the three diseases. So we looked for homologs from other organisms that would be more amenable to crystallography. And so crystallographers often turn to thermophilic organisms because their proteins are often more stable at room temperature. And we were fortunate in that addition to the funding we received from the National Institutes of Health to work on DNA repair, we also received money from the Department of Energy to work on protein machines from thermophilic organisms. And so we cloned the XPD gene from an organism called Cephalobus acidocaldarius, and that's an archaea that lives at 80 degrees C and pH 3. So it lives in an environment that's very different from what we live in, obviously, but it still has an XPD gene. And so we knew from work from the White Laboratory, and they also published a paper in the issue of Cell that our paper appeared in, and they published a paper a couple of years ago that showed that the acidocaldarius protein can be made recombinantly. And the interesting thing is that they found that it has an iron sulfur cluster. So knowing that that protein had an iron sulfur cluster turned out to be key for the crystallization. So my co-author, Lee Fan, who's working at the Scripps Research Institute, actually had to do the crystallography anaerobically to protect the protein from oxygen because iron sulfur clusters can be, some of them can be oxidized very easily. And it's much harder to do crystallography in this way. But fortunately, the Tainer Lab had a lot of expertise in crystallizing proteins that were oxygen sensitive. And so it was really exciting when he was doing the crystallography because his crystals were actually brown. And so we knew that the iron sulfur cluster was intact.
I've read that the structure of XPD came as a surprise. How so?
First of all, I want to say, you know, it's a thrill to see the structure of any protein, particularly a protein that, you know, I've worked on for so many years and other people have worked on many more years before me. But it, you know, it was also a surprise. We knew it would probably have two domains that are helicase domains because of the protein sequence, but it also turns out that it has two other domains. One is this iron sulfur cluster domain. And then another domain that we named the arch. And these two domains come together to form a very beautiful arch structure with a hole underneath it that we think single-stranded DNA may travel through. And in addition to just the overall structure of the protein, mapping the mutants was also a big surprise in that particularly the TTD mutations, they were hypothesized to affect protein-protein interactions. And so we thought that they'd all map to the surface of the protein, which seems to make sense, you know, for affecting how the protein interacts with other proteins. But it turned out that they're not all on the surface and that the TTD mutations can affect actually the whole framework of the protein and so cause the protein to be more floppy, which we hypothesize causes the protein not to interact as well with its protein partners.
My final question, your team leader, Dr. John Tainer, said that this work helps open the door to understanding how molecular interactions and activities in the cell result in aging or in cancer. What does the research team plan to do next to take your recent findings and advance medicine's ability to deal with cancer and the problems associated with aging?
Now we can not only understand the disease mutations, but we can go a bit further. We can see what the effect of polymorphisms are on XPD. So polymorphisms are changes in the general population that don't cause disease necessarily, but they may impact a person's susceptibility to certain cancers or how fast they age. So our discovery that some TTD mutations don't affect the activity of the protein necessarily, but that they affect the structure of the protein, makes us rethink how mutations in other disease genes or other genes that are important in cancer may work. And so it leads the way to actually thinking about how all mutations in diseases may affect the proteins that they're in.
I'm John Sterling. Thanks for listening. If you would like to comment on this week's podcast, please go to our podcast section at www.genengnews.com and give us your thoughts. We'd really like to hear from you. Bye for now.
To learn more about topics discussed in this GenCast, or to listen to previous GenCasts, visit our website at www.genengnews.com. New GenCasts are posted every week, Thursday, 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. For the Gen Publishing editorial staff, I'm Jonathan Ellinghaus saying thanks for listening, and be sure to tune in again next week to the GenCast Network.